Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English to Africa service of The Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clote in Washington, D.C.
The APC was more concerned about the outcome of the June 24, 2023 elections based on what I've just explained to you. Lack of transparency, accountability. It was described as being unfair and not transparent.
Sierra Leone's main opposition leader demands electoral reforms to ensure future polls are credible.
From what we are getting from Nigerians who have indicated interest in participating in this major protest, I don't call it protest, I call it revolt. Is going to be a global event that's going to involve Nigerians at home and abroad, that's the diaspora.
Nigerians plan to protest next week over economic hardships they face.
The U.S. Wants to convince the Congolese general audience that they are standing with them, that they are paying attention on what's happening in DRC, that they can still do something to push or force the rebel group to stop fighting.
And the U.S. government imposes sanctions on three rebel leaders in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. In Sierra Leone, the presidential candidate of the main opposition All People's Congress, or APC, says the party is aggrieved over the outcome of the last election. Samura Kamara, who was a former foreign minister, also says there must be electoral reforms to ensure future polls are transparent and credible. His remarks come after a tripartite committee issued a report containing recommended changes to President Julius Maada Bio. Political observers say the study appears to have eased political tensions. Former presidential candidate Samura Kamara tells me that his call for re-election remains, although he is willing to meet President Maada Bio to resolve concerns over future reforms.
The APC was more concerned about the outcome of the June 24, 2023 elections, based on what I've just explained to you. Lack of transparency, accountability. It was described as being unfair and not transparent, and therefore it lacks credibility. So we stated this in our Agreement for National Unity on the preamble. We'll still continue to ask for the publication, the availability of what's called aggregated results, polling station by polling station, from the Electoral Commission. And that we also ask for the resignation of the head of the Electoral Commission as well as his senior members in the commission and indeed staff, because we did not find them to be credible. Now, all of these were in the Agreement for National Unity.
What were your major concerns about what was put out?
What was put out was that there was no consideration with respect to what was described as divergent areas. Divergent areas meaning there was no result on how we together could manage what happened on June 24, 2023 with respect to the announced results, which I rejected and with the party as well, the APC also rejected. So we asked for reconsideration. When the committee report came out, this was left out. It was only put in the agreement as divergent areas. So there was no sort of proposal to move forward with these divergent areas, which had to do especially with the position of the party. And we had our own indicative results when we processed. And this results show that Samura Kamara had 57.15%, and then Bio had 39 to 40%.
Where do you go from here now that it's apparent that in spite of the dialogue, there are still divergent areas that are less likely to be agreed upon because both parties seem to be far apart on this.
Yes, but I think there is room for convergence over time. What it means is that we, as a sovereign country, this is our own problem as Sierra Leoneans. We must really understand that we have a moral responsibility to satisfy the will of our people. Leadership is to allow the people to govern, the people to rule. Leadership is about allowing democratic principles to really set the pace on how to meet the wishes and expectations of the people.
What do I hear from some of your supporters that they want the election to be rerun? Is that the APC stand or main opposition stand? And is that your stance as well?
It is the APC stand because it is part of the report of the tripartite committee. It is there. Even the position paper that was prepared by the All People's Congress Party, the APC, is part of the report. So a manner that satisfies the will of the people.
So talking about reconciliation, have you considered approaching the president to have a dialogue, man-to-man dialogue, with the need to ease political tension, address this lack of convergence view or the anticipated convergence view in order to ease political tension so the country can move on smoothly and that these concerns you've raised will be resolved?
Yes, we have. And I think we're just waiting for the appropriate time where this could be done, where man to man we can sit and then discuss. The point is, how do we manage the expectations of Sierra Leoneans who really did not go to the ballot to vote just because they wanted to vote, but they went there to find a way to express their dissatisfaction with the performance of the government, economically, with the performance of the politics of Sierra Leone. And then there was a disappointment. The way the results were read, that's the problem, the way they are announced. So I think we have to have an honest acknowledgement that there was something that went fundamentally wrong.
Samura Kamara, a former foreign minister, was the presidential candidate from the main opposition All People's Congress, or APC. He spoke with me from the Sierra Leonean capital, Freetown. In Nigeria, a former presidential candidate says the coming nationwide protest is aimed at pressing home demands of a majority of Nigerians over economic hardships they face. Omoyele Sowore, who is also a leading member of the group organizing the demonstration, denies concerns that the protest will increase tension and plunge the country into chaos and violence. Scheduled to begin next week, organizers say the 10-day demonstration named End Bad Governance in Nigeria will make non-negotiable demands for the authorities to resolve. Traditional rulers are urging the organizers to seek dialogue with the government, warning that hoodlums may hijack the demonstrations. But Omoyele Sowore tells me that the protest will be peaceful.
From what we are getting from Nigerians who have indicated interest in participating in this major protest, I don't call it protest, I call it revolt, is going to be a global event, including that's going to involve Nigerians at home and abroad, that's the diaspora. And we're expecting Nigerians in all the 36 states and 774 local governments, several cities and towns to participate, including places around the world where there might be huge population of Nigerians or reasonable population of Nigerians, and where Nigerians might have embassies and consulates or any form of representation or concern.
But there are concerns that this protest, that you are describing it as a revolt, could create chaos and a possible clash with security agencies, including the police and the military.
I'm glad that they feel that way already. That means that we can clearly avert that. And in averting that, about 15 demands have been made, non-negotiable demands have been made available to those in government to deal with and avert this. But beyond that, if they can't do that, the security agencies are aware that they are employees of Nigerian people. If they so desire that they want to disrespect their employer, then they will have themselves to blame. But there is no violence planned. It's scheduled to be a very peaceful protest that will last at first for 10 days. And it need be, it will take long. In fact, if you check the...
Are you not going to shut down the Nigerian economy with this protest?
The Nigerian economy was shut down by the Nigerian ruling class a long time ago. So there's no economy to be shut down anymore.
You talked about 15 key demands, but what are the top five, if I may ask?
The top five I can read to you, that they should scrap the 1999 constitution and replace it with a people-made constitution for the Federal Republic of Nigeria through a sovereign national conference to be immediately followed by a national referendum. Two, to toss the Senate arm of the Nigerian legislative system, keep the House of Representatives, and make law-making a part-time endeavor. Number three, pay Nigerian workers minimum wage of nothing less than 250,000 naira monthly. That is the minimum wage. This will be maybe about $150 a month, which is really not something, nothing to write home about. Number four, invest heavily in education and give Nigerian students grants, not loans. Aggressively pursue free and compulsory education for children across Nigeria. Number five, release Mazi Nnamdi Kanu unconditionally and demilitarized in the southeastern part of Nigeria, and to release all NSAs and political detainees and for them to be compensated. And there's that also extends to punishing the officers who were involved in killing NSAs protesters in 2020.
Okay, so with these demands that you say they are non-negotiable, you are not giving the government any room to have any dialogue at all about how to resolve some of these major concerns that you've expressed. Is this realistic?
They are realistic. The demands are available to government. They have not said that they can't meet these demands. They have not told anybody that they can't meet these demands that I know of. So don't let us jump the gun.
Top security officers have expressed concern that sometimes during these protests, thugs hijack it and clash with the police. They vandalize people's property. They steal and cause mayhem. What assurances are you giving Nigerians that this protest will be peaceful? And have you been given the permission to go on this protest?
First, nobody needs the permission, even by Nigerians, dilapidated 1999 constitution, to go on a protest. Court decisions have said you don't need permits to protest in Nigeria. All you need to do is to declare your protest, and the moment police gets whiff of it, they are supposed to protect you and ensure that the protest is not hijacked, quote and unquote. But it has always been the refrain of Nigerian security agencies since I was born. They always claim that protests are going to be hijacked. You know, even the 1929 Aba riots protest, the claim was going to be hijacked. So they have nothing else to tell you other than to claim that some faceless, unknown persons are going to hijack a protest. Well, you covered NSAS extensively. And you know there was a peaceful protest. In fact, the young people who were killed during NSAS were waving the Nigerian flag in front of soldiers and singing the national anthem while they were being shot at directly at close range. So who then hijacks the protest?
Omoyele Sowore is a leading member of the group organizing the Nigerian protest. He spoke with me from here in the U.S. The U.S. government has sanctioned three rebel leaders accused of fomenting political instability, conflict and civilian displacement in the Democratic Republic of Congo. For VOA, Mohammed Yusuf has more from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
The U.S. Department of the Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Control on Thursday imposed sanctions on Corneille Nangaa, leader of the Congo River Alliance. The rebel group is accused of seeking to overthrow the government and driving political instability in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Nangaa was previously targeted with sanctions in 2019. Washington also sanctioned Bertrand Bisimwa, the leader of the M23 movement rebel group, for destabilization and human rights violations. Charles Semetama, deputy military leader of another rebel group, Twirwaniho, was also sanctioned. Great Lakes region political researcher and analyst Ntanyoma Rukumbuzi says the U.S. is trying to show that it cares about the DRC and wants to punish those who want to create instability in the Central African nation.
The U.S. Wants to convince the Congolese general audience that they are standing with them, that they are paying attention on what's happening in DRC, that they can still do something to push or force the rebel group to stop fighting. As you can see, some of these sanctions seem to disregard and overlook the entire complexity of violence in Eastern DRC.
The U.S. government said in a statement the action it is taking reinforces its commitment to hold accountable those who seek to perpetuate instability, violence, and harm to civilians to achieve their political goals. The M23 as a group is also under U.S. sanctions. For several years, it has been fighting against the Congolese army and other rebel groups in the east of the country. According to the UN estimates, more than 7.2 million Congolese are displaced due to conflicts. Olivier Banibonerba is a Congolese refugee living in Uganda. He says U.S. sanctions won't end the suffering of the Congolese. He says we are not in politics, but says the rebels are coming to my home to cut me with a machete. Even that Nanga, the American government says it will freeze his assets, but there is a country that is supporting Nanga. He says that country has the money, it will continue to fund him, and the killing goes on. The Congolese government has accused Rwanda of supporting the M23 rebel group, a claim denied by Kigali. Rukumbuzi also says the sanctions won't stop the operations of the rebel groups.
They've been fighting for several reasons. There are different individuals and groups who have something to fight for. I'm sure it may disturb them at the time they be trying to understand why this and possibly trying to take the way roles can be dispatched to different individuals. This won't stop the rebels to fight.
The U.S. hopes the sanctions against these leaders and groups will change their violent ways and convince them to find a peaceful means to address their grievances instead of killing and displacing innocent people from their homes. Mohamed Yusuf, VOA News, Nairobi.
In Kenya, President William Ruto has named some opposition members from the Orange Democratic Movement, or ODM, to his new cabinet. It comes after the president expressed concern that Gen Z protesters are being sponsored by external forces to destabilize the country. But the protesters say the changes do not meet their expectations. They argue that some of the officials criticized over their poor performance have been retained in the new cabinet. Robert Mwangi is one of the Gen Z protesters. He tells me that they are also disappointed with main opposition leader and former Prime Minister Raila Odinga.
First, this cabinet selection was very underwhelming. The reason why he decided to do away with the cabinet was because it was underperforming. Yet we saw him bringing back the same people in the first slot. Then on the second slot, he has gone ahead to bring people from the opposition. We are very disappointed with Raila Odinga, who was the opposition leader, for he decided to go for what we call in Kenya a handshake. A handshake is when the government of the day and the opposition get in bed together and agree to work together. Raila used us Gen Zs and our voices and what we've been advocating for to go for that handshake. I don't know who put him in that position, but we were very, very disappointed in him.
Now, but let me ask you this. The president held discussions with you on X and met key demands that you have made. Why are you disappointed in his latest action? The country has to be run anyway, correct?
It has to, but first, You need to agree that he didn't meet any of the Gen Zs on that space. He looked for people who agree with his ideas and not really the Gen Zs. The Gen Zs are actually not on the spaces. This movement actually started on TikTok, not on the X space. So these are people who are just riding on the wave of Gen Zs.
So what happens next? He was voted for and he has to run the affairs of the country. Are you still insisting that he must go?
Yes, the reason why we are saying that Ruto must go if he fails to run the nation the way it's supposed to. Remember, Gen Zs, we are just asking for very basic things. The systems that have been put there to run the way they are supposed to. And if you can see the last few days of the protest, they've taken another turn. Now we are talking about police brutality. We are talking about abductions. We are talking about the media being gagged. So all these things, they're the ones which we are calling out. That is not how a nation should be run. And if Ruto can't run it any other way, then he should step aside. We call for a fresh election. We go on the poll, vote for a leader who deserves this country.
But the country is run on a constitution that is approved by the people of Kenya. Why wouldn't Gen Z's wait for his term to finish? Because some people are suggesting that what you are asking for him to do, to resign, is illegal on its face.
These abductions, they are not in the constitution. This handshake, they are not in the constitution. But you see, why is he going for these handshakes? That means he's cut-shorting people. There are some cabinet ministries which are not in the constitution, like the one that is ran by the that is Mudavadi. It's not in the constitution. So Ruto is not using the constitution. And that's what we've been calling and saying, if at all he can't obey the rules of the country, then he needs to go.
The president has expressed concern that the Gen Zs are being used by external forces to try to cause chaos and try to undermine the very peace and stability Kenya enjoys.
So why is he saying that we are being sponsored? We are not being sponsored. I personally haven't been sponsored. I haven't received any shilling. In fact, I'm still looking for a job in Kenya. You can't say that I'm sponsored. Every day I wake up and go to the streets and protest because I don't have a job. And that's what I'm protesting for. So him saying that people are being sponsored and the companies that he named. Remember last time I asked you and I told you that maybe he should come forward and name those people that he's saying that they are sponsoring, and he named one of those companies, and that company really, it has even sponsored one of his campaigns. So you can't really say that it's sponsoring any Gen Z. In fact, we haven't seen any organization that is run by Gen Zs that is being sponsored by the company that he mentioned.
Robert Mwangi is one of the Gen Z protesters. He spoke with me from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. Yona Musunguzi, a Ugandan parliamentarian, said soon some of his colleagues will join the young protesters who are demanding an end to public corruption. This after the Speaker of Parliament directed a postponement of this week's parliamentary session until next week. It comes after young protesters called for the resignation of the Speaker over corruption in the legislature. It also follows the call by the Uganda Law Society for the unconditional release of the protesters who the group says were illegally arrested by the police. Parliamentarian Yona Musunguzi tells me that corruption is so rampant that many of his colleagues in the legislature will soon join the protest in an effort to end what he calls institutional graft.
I am in total support of the young people of my nation, Uganda, and anyone who would rise against corruption in this world, because we all know what corruption has done to our economy. Today, as we talk about my home here in Uganda, our country, the youth have lost hope. Not only the youth, even us, the members of parliament. We've been talking about this day in, day out. A few of us who have stood for the common cause of the local person, of the common people. And the corruption we are talking about, either in parliament or in any arm of this government, it is only by a few members. It is not for all of us, not at all. But the few have amassed money that is even worth the budget of the whole nation of the whole financial year of this nation. And the youth are hopeless.
There have been anti-corruption institutions, even at the presidency, to fight corruption. Why hasn't this problem been resolved in government institutions, including parliament?
We have numerous institutions. Even tomorrow, they may create another institution. But I want to call upon the youth of Uganda that their cause is genuine. Because these institutions, we have the IGG, that is the Inspector General of Government. We have the State House Anti-Corruption Unit. We have Harris State House Anti-Corruption Unit. We have numerous of them. I cannot mention all of them now. But I want to tell you, the corruption is well embedded. It is a syndicate. Some people have done institutionalized it for years. It has become a culture. And when the youth see all these institutions are not doing anything, when they rise up, some of us may be forced to join them. However, we call upon government, these institutions, to raise up, to do their work. The president is suffering every day, creating institutions to fight corruption, but corruption is even becoming worse every day. And we can't sit down. Some of us are about to join this generation to make sure our country is secured for the future. And when they come up, really, I am in 100% support of their cause.
The Speaker of Parliament, Madam Anita Among, has been cited as one of the problems in Parliament. They are calling on her to resign. But in your view, do you think the accusations against the Speaker of Parliament is fair? Because some of her supporters are saying the criticisms are unfair because there are equally corrupt people in other government institutions.
The corruption in Uganda, Anita, is not the problem. Anita is not the problem. Parliament is not the problem. The problem is the system that has been here for centuries. The lack of the willingness, the lack of patriotism of the people who have been given responsibilities, they have made it in such a way that it is a day-to-day life. They think they are entitled. And Anita is a peanut in the scandals of corruption. If we had to fight the greed, nepotism, corruption, embezzlement, abuse of office here in my home, in my country here, as citizens, we need to sit down and first love our country first. Because I want to tell you, the institutions of corruption, it's not only Anita. It is not only whoever. It is the whole system. We shall go in education, we find corruption. We shall go in a health sector, there will be a lot of corruption. If we go into the Ministry of Works, you shall find corruption. Everywhere is corruption. Even those institutions which have been given the responsibility to fight corruption, they also corrupt themselves.
What do you think is the best way forward to resolve this systematic problem of corruption that you talked about?
This systematic way of corruption, number one, we should go the China way. Everyone should know that corruption is indeed a vampire that is sucking the blood of this nation, and we should make it very hard for any corrupt officer to really have the next of tomorrow. China here, some of them were put even on gunpoint and shot dead. We should make life very hard for our corrupt officers here. And even those who are the beneficiaries of corruption, like we should go for lifestyle audit. If someone's salary has been 1 million, how come on his account he has more than $2 million? How many Americans have got $2 million on their account?
Yona Musunguzi is a Ugandan parliamentarian. He spoke with me from the Ugandan capital, Kampala. You are listening to Nightline Africa on the English to Africa service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. And coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. But first, Opponents of the Mauritanian government held a protest at the UN headquarters in New York on Friday. Organizers say it aimed to call on the international community to resolve political tensions in the country to prevent a future conflict. Bakary Tandia, the lead organizer of the protest, is also executive director of the Council of Presidents of the Anti-System Coalition, an opposition group in Mauritania. He tells me that protesters are also demanding an independent inquiry and prosecution of those who participated in the recent shooting death of five Mauritanians.
We, the Mauritanian diaspora and human rights organizations and all allies here in New York, we are organizing a rally at the UN in protest against the fake electoral result in Mauritania, and also to demand justice for the five young people who were killed in Mauritania. There is no justification to kill innocent people in Mauritania. The problem is there is a culture of impunity. People get killed by police and there is no consequence. We are demanding that this situation must change. That's why we are here. No justice! No justice! No justice! No justice! No justice!
What do you want the international community to do about the situation in Mauritania?
Yeah, what we want is very, very clear. We know that UN, the international community, are for peace and security. So in Mauritania, what is happening right now is endangering peace and security in the region. So when the international community talk about prevention of conflicts and conflict resolution, this is the right time to do something about it. On July 21st, we, the opposition anti-system, organized a major rally, a historical rally in Nouakchott. People came in droves to express their will for change. People want change, so the international community must not ignore the will of the Mauritanian people who have clearly expressed their demand and their interest for justice for all.
But Bakary, if you are calling on the international community to intervene, are you not undermining the territorial integrity and the sovereignty of Mauritania, especially when you just recently held an election and the president was re-elected?
We have not recognized, you know, the results. We are not asking for military intervention in Mauritania. At the international level, there are mechanisms to prevent conflict. There are mechanisms to address, situations. This is what we are asking for. So the international community and the UN, they cannot ignore what is happening in Mauritania. We have a culture of impunity. So we want that to change, to reflect the will and the desire of the Mauritanian people.
Supporters of the ruling party say that you refuse to take the legal path to challenge the outcome of the recent election. You failed to do so. So why are you calling on the international community to intervene when you fail to exhaust the path to challenge the outcome of the recent elections?
It is a very interesting question. What you are asking for would be relevant in a normal process. In Mauritania, we are not dealing with a normal process. We knew that. We intentionally refused to file a complaint with the Constitutional Court, but because we knew already what was going to be the outcome. That's why we deliberately decided that it was not worth to do so. And our position is that we will not recognize, you know, the results. That is our position. No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
Bakary Tandia, the lead organizer of the protest, is also executive director of the Council of Presidents of the Anti-System Coalition, an opposition group in Mauritania. He spoke with me from New York. A new report shows hunger in Africa is sharply increasing, where one in every five people on the continent is hungry. It also shows the prevalence of moderate or severe food insecurity is nearly double the global average. The finding was contained in a report compiled by the State of Food Security and Nutrition in the World, or SOFI. The study was released by four United Nations agencies, such as the Food and Agriculture Organization, the World Food Programme, the International Fund for Agricultural Development, and UNICEF, the UN's Children's Fund. The survey also shows that one in 11 people globally goes to bed hungry. The report, which is called Financing to End Hunger, Food Insecurity and Malnutrition in All Its Forms, details the inadequate funding provided by the International Community for Hunger Assistance. Victor Bushamuka is the Senior Technical Advisor on Food Security and Livelihoods with Action Against Hunger, a non-profit that works across 59 countries treating malnutrition and addressing the root causes of hunger. He talks to me about the state of food security and nutrition in the world.
It did not come by surprise, because we knew that the trend that the food insecurity was taking was going up every year. And this report just came up to confirm that what we were afraid of is now the reality. I think the main thing that we need to do is how to change that trend. And the things that we need to do, there are so many efforts that are ongoing, but we still getting this level of food insecurity. So this is going to show us that a lot of things need to be done, despite what we have been working on. But there is something that does not click for the things that we are doing, and we have to discover that and to know what are the things that are making the trend for food insecurity to continue going up.
So what do you think are the major factors contributing to this situation of food insecurity across the globe, and particularly in Africa?
There are so many things that are involved, but the key ones, we have the climate shock in Africa. We have the state of the conflict also elsewhere, that we live in a global environment. We are connected. So what is happening in Gaza, what's happening in Ukraine, is affecting some of the countries in Africa, because those countries in Africa rely on either the food is producing in Ukraine or the fertilizer that are being produced in Russia, that can no longer, the countries in Africa that desperately need to continue getting those resources are not getting them. The other thing that is the chronic inequality that we are seeing, the country that really needs to get help in order to get out of this trend that we are getting of food insecurity are not being receiving what they need to receive in order to get out of this crisis.
But do you think the international community is paying much attention to some of these concerns highlighted in this report?
I do pay attention to what is highlighted, but the fact that are they doing it efficiently? Are they doing it to all the countries that have the need? Because there are so many factors that get into the decision to intervene in one country or another. There are some political issues that may affect the contribution from one country to another. But when you look at the high level, you will think that, yes, they are paying attention to it.
But do you think members of the international community have the tools and the knowledge to prevent hunger for everyone for good?
As far as I know, I've been in this business for over 35 years. I will say that, yes, that they do know what it takes. But one factor that needs to be looked at, there are some, as I said, a lot of political implications that may prevent one country from getting involved in the country that is in need of help. That knowledge exists. And what I'm saying that we need to look at, we do not need, I think the country do not need for the intervention in terms of emergency interventions. We do not need those humanitarian. We do, yes. I'm taking that back. We do need that, but that should not be our primary way of intervention. The intervention, we should look at the prevention. If we focus a little bit on the prevention instead of going there, because we see that as a human being, you can see people are suffering, then you have that desire of going to assist. But we can do it upfront, do it on the prevention side, instead of waiting for people are desperate or people are in the famine or people start dying, then you see that that's where you have the courage to intervene. If we start intervening during the prevention stage, then we will be able to at least to have a head wave.
Victor Bushamuka is the Senior Technical Advisor on Food Security and Livelihoods with Action Against Hunger. He spoke with me from here in Washington. Right now it's time for music from African Collection.
Listen, I want to make you mine. As soon as you shake your bagasse, I want to make you my baby. Shake your bagasse. Baby, they give me banana. Yeah, baby, girl, they make a one to shake the banana. Oh, baby, come and give me a lantern. Give me banana. Oh, ah, yeah. Baby, shake the banana.
Shake it, I will give you to Nana. Now you want me, I go love you. I'm a sexy guana. Come shake it to the best liner. Them a call me designer. Come shake it to the best liner. Them a call me designer.
I'm in.
she's a good belly dancer. The way how you want, girl, you look so romantic. Like the way how you bake it. The way how you want, girl, you got me confessing. Oh, yeah, yeah. Wait to be your neighbor. You drive me insane. And the way you do want, girl, you mash up my mind. I'm hoping you ain't taking. Wait to be your neighbor. You drive me insane. And the way you do want, girl, you mash up my mind. I'm hoping you ain't taking. Girl, it's you that I'm wanting. I'm loving the way how your booty commanding. Yeah. And you know, say I'm on you tonight. I'm loving the way how you doing it right. Yeah. None of them, but they went past you. Slow we done, yeah, slow motion. And I like the way they went for me. You know, say now you be the winner. Wait to be your name. You know I'm driving me insane. And the way you do one, girl, you mash up my mind. I hope you ain't taking. Wait to be your name. You know I'm driving me insane. And the way you do one, girl, you mash up my mind. I hope you ain't taking. Now your name is Satu. Or maybe your name not Fatu. Yeah. Or now your name is Khadija. Tell me, I'll make an extra party back. Wait to be your name. You know I'm driving me insane. And the way you do my girl, you mash up my mind. I'm hoping you ain't taking. Wait to be your name. You know I'm driving me insane. And the way you do my girl, you mash up my mind. I'm hoping you ain't taking.
That was music from the continent. We hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English to Africa service of The Voice of America and from the rest of the Nightline team, including producer the great David Vandy and engineer the affable Tiang Wang. We say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, a woman who is crying desperately to have a child does not sleep with her clothes on. I'm your host, Peter Clotte, in Washington, D.C. Good evening, Africa. I really wanna know what size.